Hey, good afternoon. Glad you are with us. Turning out to be a really partly cloudy day. I mean, this morning about 9 o'clock, it was still somewhat foggy. I mean, from West End, I couldn't even see the skyline of downtown New Orleans, which I can usually see. And it was kind of cloudy and foggy, but it's turning out to be a nice partly cloudy afternoon. Hey, you've heard in the forecast a little rain on the way. Some of it might be a little heavy, which is okay with me. And then we've got a chance of cooler temperatures coming up. You heard in our news just now, and I think it was Joe Cardosi who had the report about Helena Moreno talking about how there are people in city government. And as her transition team looks at the city and what's going on, they can't figure out what these people do or why they're being paid. I wonder how many friends Cantrell gave positions to. We are just learning. You and I think we know how bad she was as a mayor. We're learning that she was even worse than we thought she was. And boy, for somebody with an ego as massive as hers, she's going to need to be in therapy. She's going to need to reconcile what she did as mayor and how the city is looking upon her and how history is going to record the name LaToya Cantrell. I mean, you know, years from now, when I'm still on the air doing this show, we're going to be talking about how history is going to record LaToya Cantrell, and it ain't going to be pretty. I mean, just what a monumental mess. And I hope she is a wake-up call. And apparently she is, because Helena Moreno is going to be sworn in as mayor within days. And it just seems like that was a really, really good choice, you know, but we'll see. Helena Moreno's going to have to, she's going to have to live up to the image that she is presenting. I think she will. But there's a lot of pressure on her to do the right thing. And it just seems like at every turn, LaToya Cantrell did the wrong thing. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon, halfway to the weekend already. And you just heard in the news, and this has been in the news today, an ICE agent shot in and killed a woman, and the woman was using her car as a way of attacking the protesters. I don't know enough about this to comment right now. Maybe I'll have more to say on this tomorrow, or maybe I'll have more to say this in a video that I'm going to post on either Substack, Instagram, you know, the Scoot on the Air Instagram. And I hope you'll join me there. I know a lot of you are on Instagram. So join me on Scoot on the Air Instagram. I'm trying to post something every day, and I'll get to the point where I'm posting more than one thing a day. And you could comment. And I'm going to be really more active on Instagram than I have been. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. So, yeah, get active with me on Instagram. And I'm going to start doing some interviews with people that I'm going to be posting on Instagram. So if you haven't done it yet, join me, Scoot on the Air Instagram. I would love to have you there. And I really want to continue to de-emphasize Facebook and send more people to Instagram and Substack, because, you know, Facebook is just filled with too many ignorant trolls. And I'm not saying that the people who disagree with me are ignorant, but I'm talking about the ignorant trolls. Not the people who disagree with me. There are people who disagree with me. They're not all ignorant trolls. But man, some of them are just ignorant trolls. I mean, that's just the best way to put it. I posted a video on Substack yesterday. And if you haven't joined me yet, I would invite you to join me and become a subscriber. It's Scoot on the Air. It's Scoot on the Air Substack. If you haven't joined me there yet, download the Substack app. And then just search Scoot on the Air and then become a subscriber, and you will see what I post, and feel free to comment on what I post. I did something yesterday, something we did talk about on the show yesterday, which was the anniversary, the fifth anniversary of the riot, the Capitol attack by Americans, U.S. Americans attacked the U.S. Capitol. And yesterday, January 6th, was the fifth anniversary of that. So upset with the truth, so upset with the way the media and the American people, most of them, see January 6th, the president and the White House set up a website dedicated to the January 6th Capitol riot, where they they said the Democrats, quote, staged the real insurrection. Well, first of all, they have been talking since it happened that it wasn't an insurrection. So what now? Suddenly it is an insurrection and the Democrats caused it? The people who were arrested, by their own admission, said they were inspired by Donald Trump. Now, he may not have actually told them during that talk to go to the Capitol, but a lot of them had the impression, because he did give the impression that he was going to walk with them to the Capitol. And I'll get to more on that in just a moment. But this website is dedicated to the non-truth, misinformation, that it was all Democrats that staged this insurrection. No, it was supporters of Donald Trump. Remember, this was the new year. The election was over. He lost to Joe Biden in the election 2020. And so the president did not want to leave office. He wanted to stay in, and it seems like he tried to stay in. But anyway, there's no indication that the Democrats caused this. As I said yesterday, this is not the work of all Trump supporters. It's the work of the right-wing radicals who are Trump supporters who did this. There are a hell of a lot of Trump supporters, a hell of a lot of Americans who voted for Donald Trump, who did not agree with the riots, and they did not participate in the riots. So I'm talking about this right-wing radical faction of the Republican Party that was responsible. And to set up a website to try to misdirect the truth into this blatant lie that the Democrats staged the insurrection is just, you know, another example of the problem that we have in this country. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, testifying was Pamela Hemphill. Pamela Hemphill was part of the riot. She's a Republican, a Trump supporter who went from Idaho to Washington, D.C. There are a lot of right-wing radicals who live in Idaho. It's just one of those parts of the country that has attracted right-wing radical MAGA supporters. Anyway, she testified yesterday on Capitol Hill, apologizing to the Capitol Police, saying she was sorry and apologizing. She says, "Once I got away from the MAGA cult and started educating myself about January the 6th, I knew what I did wrong. I pleaded guilty to my crimes because I did the crime." She said, "When Donald Trump pardoned us, I rejected the pardon. Accepting that pardon would be lying about what happened on January 6th. I am guilty. I own that guilt." So I guess she served her time. She rejected the pardon, and she was testifying yesterday. She said she was scared because Trump and the Republicans were telling her that Democrats were trying to turn this into a communist country and that the radical left wanted to get rid of our Constitution. Nobody has shown less respect for the Constitution than the current president and his hardcore supporters. But this woman admits that she was scared. And so she participated in the riots, and I respect her for not accepting the pardon. I did a video about this. It's posted on Scoot on the Air Substack if you want to check that out. All right, so Louisiana leads the nation in something that is not good. You know, if it's something that's bad, you know, we often lead the nation. If it's something that is good, we, are at the bottom of the list. But we lead the nation in population loss, according to census statistics. For the second year in a row, the state of Louisiana ranks as the number one state for losing population. Why are people leaving Louisiana? The state was number one in outgoing migration in 2024, and it appears that that's the same thing that happened in 2025. It's about economic growth. It's about affordability. It's about job opportunities. But the census data also shows that people don't want to go too far from home. Two of the states that had a lot of people from Louisiana move to are neighboring states, one to the north, Arkansas, and one to the west, Texas. These are states that attracted a lot of Louisiana residents. So I realize that job growth, that opportunities are big reasons why people leave a state. I understand that affordability is another reason people leave a state. And, you know, our insurance rates, the cost of housing, the cost of apartments in the New Orleans area are astronomical. So this is not the most affordable place to live. But I think there's another reason why people are leaving Louisiana. It's the Louisiana legislature. We have an archaic legislature. We have a legislature that is so backwards that many of the things that our legislature does send a message that Louisiana is a backward state. You're a young American and you're growing up in Louisiana and you have a chance to get out of here. I'm telling you, there are people who want to get out of here. Now, I'm not bashing Louisiana. I love this state. But I don't love the legislature. I don't love the mentality of our state collectively. As a whole, I don't love the mentality of this state. I think, you know, we're a stupid state. And we do stupid things. And we're so backwards when it comes to many things. And much of this is manifested through the Louisiana legislature. You know, we litter. And our Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser, has this big campaign about cleaning up Louisiana. We should not litter the way we litter. It's us. It's not people coming from other states and littering here. It's us. We litter the state. And littering is even worse in the New Orleans area than it is around the state. But New Orleans is part of Louisiana. So there is a mentality here of being backwards. And as long as that's in place, young people are going to look for reasons to get the hell out of here. And do you blame them? So if you're in Louisiana, if you had a chance to leave, would you leave? Are you here purely by choice? This is a beautiful state. The cypress trees, the moss dripping from the limbs of the oak trees in City Park, the waterways, the lagoons, there's a lot of beauty here. And man, look, I've lived in Oregon. I've lived in Portland where Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, snow-capped mountains are in view of downtown Portland. I've lived in Seattle where Mount Rainier was in the background and they're just the Olympic Mountains are on the other side. I lived in Miami. I've lived in beautiful places. But I can tell you there's a lot of natural beauty here in Louisiana too. If you like fishing and hunting, this is a wonderful state. I'm not into either of those things. But if you're into fishing and hunting, man, this is a great state. But the mentality here, I think, is chasing a lot of people away. And if people have a chance to get away from here, I think they jump on that opportunity. So is there anything we can do to keep people in Louisiana? And are you here because you want to be here? I mean, I hope you are. I do hope you love the state. But if you had a chance to leave, would you leave Louisiana? And why do you think so many people are leaving Louisiana? We are number one in terms of population loss for the second year in a row. I mean, that's embarrassing. And, you know, the opinion, the attitude and the opinions of our governor, Jeff Landry, who, in my opinion, is a right-wing radical Cajun. Not all Cajuns are right-wing radicals, but I believe Governor Landry is. This is chasing people away. This kind of mentality, this kind of, you know, we're going to force you to believe what we believe. We're going to force our way of life on you. That's what they try to do. That's why people are leaving Louisiana. Governor Landry and the legislature. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. Also, I wrote a blog yesterday about something that I did. I took a little trip. I went out on the street. It was Scoot on the street in search of the smell of marijuana. And the blog is about people not coming to the city because of the smell of pot. That blog is posted on our website, WWL.com. Also, the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment on it. And we'll be right back. And remember, You're listening to WWL. On the Scoot, on the calendar, on this day in 1972, David Bowie released the song Changes from his fourth studio album, Hunky Dory. This was considered among his best works. And even today, it stands up. David Bowie was indeed a musical genius. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Let's take a quick look at Scoot's news breeze. So, a 37-year-old U.S. citizen was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minneapolis this morning.
A federal agent shot and killed a Minneapolis motorist when she allegedly tried to run over law enforcement officers during an immigration crackdown, prompting a large group of protesters to vent their anger. During a news conference in Texas, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem placed the blame on the woman who was shot.
It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in an enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle.
In Minneapolis, from behind police tape, protesters shouted,
"Shame! Shame!"
On social media, the city's mayor, Jacob Frey, demanded that federal agents leave the city, saying that they are causing chaos. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Speaking with reporters, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says President Trump's desire to acquire Greenland is not new.
That's always been the president's intent from the very beginning. He said it very early on. I mean, this is not new. He talked about it in his first term, and he's not the first U.S. president that has examined or looked at how could we acquire Greenland. There's an interest there. But so I just reminded them of the fact that not only did Truman want to do it, but President Trump's been talking about this since his first term.
But it doesn't make it right. And then when the president says he's not going to rule out military force to take over Greenland, I mean, that might just be a lot of bravado BS. You know, he might not mean it. He doesn't mean everything that he says. But I mean, it doesn't sound good to the world. Yeah, we'll use our military to go in and take Greenland. Can you imagine how Americans are going to feel if American soldiers die in the process of trying to take Greenland? You know, we don't just use our military to feed egos. We don't just use our military to do whatever we want to do. We use our military when we have to use our military, not to acquire Greenland. Of course, that's my opinion. Asked if military action against Greenland was off the table, Rubio, of course, dodged the question and said he didn't want to talk about it. You're Secretary of State, and you don't want to talk about whether or not the president said he might want to use military force to take Greenland?
I'm not here to talk about Denmark or military intervention. I'll be meeting with them next week. We'll have those conversations with them then. But I'm not having anything further to add to that today.
Let me tell you something. If anybody knows if Donald Trump has polyps, it's Marco Rubio. European policy analyst Maria Marashut says that Denmark's prime minister was correct to say that the U.S. takeover of Greenland would mean an end to NATO.
The Nordics do not lightly make statements like this, but it is Trump whose, you know, very bombastic language bordering on direct threats and intimidation is threatening de facto another ally.
All right, so what exactly is NATO?
NATO is an alliance of democratic nations in Europe and North America that have agreed to support each other through collective defense. Essentially, there is a signed piece of paper that requires all countries to defend each other as a group. And why is that important? Basically, there is one NATO member, the USA, that is large enough to defend itself on its own. However, most of the other members are not big enough to defend themselves alone against a big threat. So the alliance helps small countries feel largely protected.
So what happens if we try to take Greenland by force, which is a territory of Denmark, which is one of the nations that's part of NATO, which is the North American Treaty Organization? Yeah. A lot of exciting things to look forward to. The Trump administration has seized two oil tankers linked to Venezuela and is selectively removing sanctions to enable sales.
The U.S. has seized two oil tankers linked to Venezuela in the North Atlantic and the Caribbean. The U.S. European Command says in a social media post that it seized a merchant vessel for violations of U.S. sanctions. The vessel, which according to records is flagged to Russia, had been pursued by the U.S. since last month after it tried to evade a U.S. blockade on sanctioned oil vessels around Venezuela. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem says U.S. forces also took control of a tanker in the Caribbean. She says both ships were either last docked in Venezuela or were headed there. Officials say the Russian-flagged vessel, renamed from the Bella One to the Marinera, was sanctioned by the U.S. in 2024 for allegedly smuggling cargo for a company linked to Lebanese militant group Hezbollah, which is backed by Iran. The U.S. Coast Guard tried to board the vessel in December, but were refused. Donna Warder, Washington.
The sprawling fraud cases in Minnesota have inspired the administration to go in guns blazing.
The Department of Homeland Security says it's launched the largest immigration enforcement operation it's ever carried out in Minnesota. Sources tell AP some 2,000 federal agents and officers are expected to be deployed in the Minneapolis area. The move began over the weekend, and federal authorities say it targets alleged fraud involving Somali residents. DHS says agents arrested 150 people Monday. Governor Tim Walz decried the operation as a war being waged against Minnesota, noting there's been no coordination with the state. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Yeah, I wonder how much better your life is now that these people are out of the country, or that they've been detained at least. I mean, did it change your life at all? Anyway, that's it for a look at Scoots News Briefs. So we're talking about the state of Louisiana being number one in a bad category. We're number one in terms of population loss. Why are so many people leaving Louisiana? And if you're here, are you here because you want to be here? Or are you here because you really don't have an option right now? And if you had an option, you would leave Louisiana. I really think the mentality of our governor, the mentality of our legislature are chasing a lot of young people out of our state. I can't help but believe that that's true. You know, you're a young person, you've got a bright future, and you think about how backwards our state is. You know, some people are concerned about the loss, the possibility of the loss of abortion rights. And, you know, we just don't have the, we don't have the job growth here that they have in other states. And Arkansas and Texas, two neighboring states, are states that are attracting a lot of people from Louisiana. We got to figure out a way to attract people here. We also have to figure out a way to keep people here. So what is the number one state when it comes to attracting new people? It's the state of Oregon. Oregon offers a lot of high-paying, high-tech jobs and also healthcare jobs, just major, the Oregon Health Service there is just so huge. Hospitals so huge in Portland and around Oregon that they're attracting a lot of those people. South Carolina is number three, and that's becoming more of a manufacturing state. West Virginia's number two, Delaware three, Minnesota five, Idaho number six, North Carolina seven, Arkansas eight, Alabama nine, and Nevada number 10. Why can Alabama do such a good job of attracting jobs and we can't in Louisiana? It's because we're incompetent. And I'm being honest about it. It's because we focus on the wrong things. And that whole port of Mobile, for the size of Mobile and the businesses that are related to the port of Mobile, they are kicking ass over in Alabama. And I have a feeling that that's driving a lot of business. I think there's probably also a lot of high-tech jobs in Huntsville, in the northern part of the state. But, you know, for Alabama to be number nine, and we are last on the list of states attracting population, or we're number one when it comes to population loss, I just think that's embarrassing. So why do you think so many people are leaving the state? We're going to come back with your comments, and the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. All right, so Wednesday afternoon, we are already close to the weekend. Good news. Hey, this is the birthday of Paul Revere, and the Raiders. Mark Lindsay was the main lead singer, but Paul Revere was the organ player, and he was the main guy behind the band. He would be 89 years old today, but he passed away back in 2014. I had just interviewed him on the air, and a couple of weeks later, I was in Hawaii, and he happened to be staying at the same hotel I was staying in Hawaii, and we were both hanging around the pool, so I went over and had a conversation with him. So that was it was fun. I mean, what are the chances that I just talked to Paul Revere in a radio interview, and then he's staying at the same hotel, hanging around the pool in Hawaii? Sometimes strange things happen. He was a fun guy, and he's described by many as the madman of rock because he was a little crazy. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm glad you are with us, and remember, you're listening to WWL. Hey, I hope you come close to living the American dream in this new year of 2026, and I think it all starts with having a very positive attitude about life. I'm Scoot on the Air. Wednesday, glad you're with us. Louisiana, number one in the nation when it comes to population loss. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Homa. And Ben, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Hi.
Hey, Ben.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. I'm going to get to the subject, but just to let you know, I was one of the 97% who voted unpatriotic yesterday.
Like yesterday we talked about, I asked the question, it was an instant text off, was January 6th a patriotic event or an unpatriotic event? 97% of our audience said it was unpatriotic, only 3% said it was patriotic, and you were part of the...
Yes, sir.
Which one, you were part of the 3%?
I don't know, the 97%.
I was really amazed because I thought there would be so many right-wingers in our audience, and I certainly welcome right-wingers to listen to our show, and many do. I thought it was going to almost be the other way around, that many people who were going to respond to that would say it was a patriotic event, but I was thrilled that 97% said it was unpatriotic, which I agree with.
What I want to share is you were speaking about the woman who refused the pardon, which had to be a gut-wrenching, difficult decision.
Oh, yeah.
The average person probably would not have made that decision. There were about 1,500 arrests, plus or minus. So she was the only one, happened to be a woman, but the only person, regardless of gender, who decided not to accept the pardon. What I wanted to say is, because I was reading something about who represents the true humanity or a true human being, and two parts, it's someone who exhibits a good conscience and reasoning abilities. I think she's one of the few you can call a true human being because she did not defy her conscience and decided to accept the penalty and the punishment, which is, I think I applaud her for that, but she probably got some hate mail, so to speak, or bad mail about what her decision. So I wonder if the other 1,499 are all without a good conscience.
or they don't care. Yeah, her name is Pamela Hemphill, and she testified yesterday, and she said that she refused the president's pardon because she was guilty of committing the crime on January 6th, and she served her term. And I would have to have a long conversation with my conscience because I'd want to get the hell out of jail.
Right. That would be a tough thing. I'm not sure what I would do, but she is a rarity, and hopefully there's more people out there that are like that. But I just wanted to call about that, and then, that's all I wanted.
Well, Ben, I appreciate your call, man. Glad to have you listening. I appreciate you being part of the show. All right, let's go to Lakeview. Rich, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Rich.
Scoot, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Enjoy your show when I get to listen, man.
Thanks.
I agree with you about Portland. I'm there often visiting in-laws. And,
it's a beautiful city. It's really beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. And, there are a lot of cool things about New Orleans, the city we live in.
Yeah, there
are. I'm not from here. I've been here for 12 years. My daughter's grown up here. This is her hometown. And, we've kind of adopted it as ours. But, man, I got to tell you, I'm going to help you a little bit with why everybody's leaving. I think city government dysfunction plays a big part. I mean, our police force is a tragedy. I don't care what the new chief says. Our budget, I mean, the city council wants to blame everything on the mayor. That's convenient. However, they approved the budget. you know, and approving a budget that had $47,000 in overtime when the year before we spent $40 million. I'm sorry, man. They're part of the problem.
Well, maybe so, Rich, but I mean, could it be that I don't need to go out of my way to defend the city council, but could it be that, you know, they didn't know everything, that they didn't have all of the information? Because it seems Cantrell hid a lot from the council.
There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to give you my full list here.
Okay.
So the city government dysfunction, sewage and water board is part of that. We all know those issues. But here's a big one. Insurance rates in this state and in this city. Auto insurance particularly. But I got to bring up one thing that never gets mentioned. And it's perplexing to me. And you tell me, have you ever seen a personal injury attorney ad when you go to Portland?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of where I saw them. No, I don't think they have them in Portland.
Yeah,
but no, they don't have them. They don't have them in Portland. But I've seen them elsewhere. I'm trying to think about. I guess it was Florida this summer where I saw them.
Yeah.
But you know what people need to pay attention to, Rich, is when you see somebody smiling and saying, "So and so got me $800,000."
Yeah.
That's not the person that got the $800,000. That's an actor portrayal of the person who might be in a wheelchair for the rest of their damn life. They make it seem like all these people are totally healthy and they're going to be healthy forever and there's nothing seriously wrong with them and they just suddenly got $800,000 because they called this particular lawyer. You got to pay attention to that stuff because those are actors and those are not the people, because the people who get that much money don't look like that, I promise you.
No, I'm with you. But not to go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
When our state insurance commissioner says we have the highest claims per claim, the highest amounts in the whole country, and then says we got to get to the bottom of that, we got to figure it out. Like, come on, man, seriously, you don't know what that is? I mean, look every day on TV, there's a personal injury ad. That's New Orleans Saints. Tell me another NFL team that has an official personal injury attorney law firm.
Well, the other thing
is part of the puzzle.
Yeah, the other thing, Rich, is they make it, some of these attorneys make it seem like the best thing that could happen to you today is that you get in a serious accident. And believe me, the people that get that much money, they don't look like that. I really have to get to a break. Rich, can you give me one more quick one?
No, the crime here. USA Today article 2 weeks ago, New Orleans, the most dangerous city in America.
Yeah, well, crime is, it's better. It's still there, but, you know, there's still crime here. I get all that. Rich, I really appreciate the call and the comments. We're talking about why Louisiana leads the nation in terms of population loss. Why are people leaving here? All right, I'm Scoot on the air. We're going to come back with more of your comments here on WWL. All right, look, Wednesday already, man. We're like, you know, this was the first week after the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, and first full week, and we're already halfway through. We've got to spend some time talking about the football games tomorrow and this weekend, and that's coming up next hour. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, 5 years ago today, on this day in 2020, great drummer of a great cerebral rock band, Rush, drummer Neil Peart passed away on this day in 2020. He was 67 years old. He had brain cancer. Yeah, they were one of the more cerebral rock bands in existence. All right, we'll have a lot to talk about in the next hour. We'll talk a little bit about football, which kicks off again tomorrow. And they're always trendy diets at the beginning of a new year. And a lot of people always talk about losing weight at the beginning of a new year. We'll talk about some of the trendy things for 2026. We'll also talk about what you have stopped eating. And we'll be right back.